This past Sunday, we were working our way through 1 Samuel chapter 22, and man, we encountered one of the most brutal things that we've seen within 1 Samuel, yet alone maybe one of the more brutal things in all of the Old Testament. And that is the way that King Saul deals with the high priest and the instrument of his wrath being an Edomite by the name of Doeg. So when David in chapter 21 flees Saul, he's officially a fugitive. He goes to the high priest there at Nob, and he lies to the high priest. He makes up a story that he's on this super secret mission. He's wanting some bread. He's wanting a weapon. The priest, again, David lying to him, not explaining the situation, gives him bread, gives him the sword of Goliath. Now, in the middle of that chapter, there's one little verse that informs us that there was a man who happened to be in Nob, a man by the name of Doeg, who was in charge, who held a position in Saul's courts that was in charge of his herds. Don't know a whole lot of Doeg. We know he's an Edomite, so he's not an Israelite. We don't know why he's in Nob. It could be that he is hunting David. The reason for that is that upon noticing that Doeg's in town, this causes David to pivot and asks the high priest for a weapon. Up until that point, he's only wanting food, but now he wants a weapon. And then he flees Nob and he heads to Gath. Now, David spends his time in Gath. From there, he goes to the cave of Adullam. It's there that God brings a bunch of people to surround him. And then David goes to the king of Moab to get his parents protective status there. There's a lot of things that have been going on. But you get to chapter 22, later into the chapter, and Saul kind of goes on a rant. Like, he's been hunting David. He wants to take David out. He feels threatened by David. And so word comes to Saul from Doeg that David has been spotted conversing with the high priest, that David had been spotted there in Nob, and that, you know, something might be afoot. So Saul sends for the high priest, sends for 85 of the priests, sends for the delegation to come from Nob to meet with him. And so Saul interrogates the high priest. The high priest is like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, I had no idea this was going on with you. And this is not what David told me. I had no idea about this. Obviously, David lied. Why should I have been suspect of David? I would have no reason to suspect David. He's your son-in-law. He's been nothing but honorable and noble. And as a result, he orders him to be executed, him and all the priests. Crazy, like just crazy. Well, as a result, the soldiers refuse the order. They're not going to strike down the priests of God. But Doeg steps up and he slaughters some 85 priests by his hand in one day. And then he leaves and he goes to Nob and he slaughters all of the women and the children and the animals. He destroys the entire town, wipes it from the face of the earth, but one young man is able to escape, comes and he tells David what's happened. And at the end of 1 Samuel 22, David, upon word, he doesn't make excuses. In fact, he says that when he had seen Doeg back in the previous chapter, he had been afraid that something like this might have happened, like might happen. And he takes ownership. That David realizes that the blood of the priest, yes, it's Saul and Doeg, but he is guilty. He's culpable. Powerful story, just a gnarly story. But there's some Psalms that are directly connected to David and his experience, the way he views Doeg. The first Psalm we'll look at is Psalms 52. In fact, we're told the title, The End of the Wicked and the Peace of the Godly. To the chief musician, a contemplation of David, when Doeg the Edomite went and told Saul and said to him what David had done in the house of the high priest. This is what's called an imprecatory psalm. This is a psalm of vengeance, of righteous indignation, for God to avenge wrath onto the wicked. Let's read through it. It's a short psalm. It's only 9 verses. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? That's how it begins. David speaking to Doeg. The goodness of God endures continually. Your tongue devises destruction. Like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness. You love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue. Now, there could be two ways of looking at this. One, David could be referencing Doeg, but let's also be candid that he could be equally speaking of himself. Because why had the high priest been placed into this dynamic? It wasn't so much that David had gone to him. It's that David had lied, which robbed the high priest of the ability to make his own decisions. Like, he was unaware of the schism between David and Saul. How Saul would react. He had no ability to prepare himself. And they were unarmed. The only weapon that they had was the sword of Goliath, but David had taken that. So maybe David, in speaking of this, your tongue devises destruction. You love devouring words, you deceitful tongue. That David's speaking maybe even of his own tongue and the consequences of lying and how it can have residual effects beyond just hurting yourself. But it can affect others as well. He says, God shall likewise destroy you forever. Now, I'm fairly certain he's speaking of Doeg here. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place and uproot you from the land of the living. This is like death metal. Like, this is a psalm to, like, double kick drum, raging electric guitars. David's probably screaming this, you know? Again, it's a song. God shall destroy you. He'll pluck you out of your dwelling. Like, whatever hole you're in, he'll pluck you out of it. He'll uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous shall also see and fear and shall laugh at him. Like, your destruction will be comical. That we will laugh at your plight, saying, here is the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. We're going to make fun of you as God judges you. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise you forever because you have done it. And in the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name, for it is good. Admittedly, kind of an odd twist to the end of the song. This imprecatory song where David is crying out for God to take vengeance upon Doeg, for he had done a very despicable thing. But he closes it by referring to himself. You know, I think that we're all capable of wickedness, and that it's in light of the fact that we aren't experiencing the judgment, the wicked, the righteous indignation of God, that we should delight in that. He says, I will wait on your good name, for it is good. This is not the only psalm that I think can be attributed. Psalm 17. Now, Psalm 17 doesn't have a heading that directly connects it to this experience with Doeg. And a lot of the Psalms of David, we have to use a little creative license. But I think as you read through this, the subtext is it's a prayer of confidence in final salvation. Let me read this psalm. It's 15 verses, so we'll take our time. David begins, and maybe this is upon him receiving word of what's taken place, of this calamity. He says, hear a just cause, O Lord, and attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from your presence. Let your eyes look on the things that are upright. He's mourning. He realizes that his error in judgment, his fear and lying and being deceitful. Again, not intending to cause harm. No doubt David didn't want to cause Ahimelech, I can never say that word right, the high priest, or his family harm. No doubt it did. David continues. He says, "You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and found nothing. I have purposed that my mouth should not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept away from the paths of the destroyer. Uphold my steps in your path, that my foot may not slip. I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand. O you who save those who trust in you, for those who rise up against them." I like that. Show your marvelous loving kindness. You know, we're told in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, that love is patient, love is kind. And then we're given this, it's long suffering. Love is long suffering. The love of God is long suffering. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand. The contrast to long suffering is your loving kindness. He says, verse 8, "Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings from the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me." He says, verse 10, "They have closed up their fat hearts. With their mouths they speak proudly." I can imagine he's thinking of Doag. "They have now surrounded us in our steps. They're coming after us. They have set their eyes crouching down to the earth as a lion is eager to tear his prey. And like a young lion lurking in secret places." Doeg was a sneaky one. "Arise, O Lord, confront him. Cast him down. Deliver my life from the wicked with your sword. With your hand for men, O Lord, for men of the world who have their portion in this life and whose bellies you fill with your hidden treasure, they are satisfied with children and leave the rest of their possessions for their babies. As for me," and this is how he kind of closes it, "as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness." Again, David's final contemplation is that there's eternity. Do you have enemies? Do you see injustices? Are there people that are afflicting you? Sometimes by the consequences of maybe sometimes your own decisions, but sometimes just purely without justice. Just those people. You know, Doag in the original language, it means anxieties. Are there situations that cause you to be anxious? If we succumb to them, they can destroy us. And yet it's we don't need to defend ourselves. We don't need to take vengeance upon our enemies. We're just called to love our enemies and to do kindly to those who do poorly to us, that we need to put these things into the hands of the Almighty God who cares for us. What a terrible, terrible situation that happened with Doeg. And yet David, he appeals to the Lord to take vengeance. Interesting that we'll never have another mention of Doeg in the scriptures. I'm not sure if David ever was able to take vengeance. I'm sure that Doeg did not last long and that David's sword would find him at some point. But Doeg did have an eternity because he would come face to face with God, the God of the living and the God of the dead. Let God defend you. Let God take vengeance on your enemies. Let God defend the weak. If you enjoyed this psalm, these psalms related to the story, I encourage you to check out our website, calvary316.tv/histories. Not only will you find all of these psalms, but you'll find the passage that we've been going through in our Harmony of the Histories series that connects with the psalms that we've been looking at. Hope you enjoyed today. God bless.